You're listening to continuing coverage of the Rust Alex Baldwin movie shooting trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
All right, you may be seated. Okay, jurors, you may notice some new props at counsel table. Somebody hold up one of their props. They begged me, so I said okay. But if anybody spills it, they don't get another one. So, in fairness to you all, if you want to bring in some coffee, you may, you may do so, okay? Do you all have cups with lids?
There are lids in there.
Okay.
I'll just have to pull them out of the cabinet.
Yeah. Okay, that'd be great. Because this trial is long and, you know, it's warm in here. No, she had a coat on before.
It's because freezing
she,
in here.
Anyway, so I think that's helpful to you all, because I think that, you know, especially after lunch, I think that, you know, some of us are like, wow, it's quite a heavy meal I just had, so. Mm-hmm. All right, now for you press, I'll let you do it too, but just behave, and if you spill it, you're completely out of here. No, I'm kidding. But just, okay, because, you know, it stains the rug. So, as we all know, all right? So, we have a jury question, okay? Jury question.
Sure.
Can we have closed captions for video testimony? Okay, so here's the situation. You'll remember that it was redacted. So, first of all, no. The answer is no. They do have some transcriptions, but they have the transcription of the whole thing, of the whole interview. And they've redacted some of it. So that's not going to work. However, we did, Brian mentioned that you all had some, you know, somebody said that you're having difficulties. So on listening to all of it or interpreting all of it. So what we're going to do is she's just going to stop from time to time and ask her to repeat what was heard or what was said, okay? Now, if you really feel like you missed something and Ms. Morrissey or Mr. Bowles aren't asking the witness what was said, raise your hand. Don't be shy, okay? Because if you'd have told us, we could have done that in the other video too. And we want you to hear as much as you can in the courtroom, and then of course, you can always replay it when you're deliberating, okay? All right, thank you.
Corporal, throughout your investigation, was it your understanding that the rounds that were taken out of the gun after the shooting were left on the prop cart?
That was my understanding because of the statement Hannah had made that when she went to check that weapon to see what was inside of it, that she did it over that prop cart.
Okay, and along those lines, where was the spent casing that we've now heard testimony was fired from this gun? Where was that spent casing found?
It was on top of the prop cart.
Okay. So we are going to, let me get the exhibit number, I apologize. Okay, we are now going to play State's Exhibit 68. And just for clarification, can you see on your screen what we're looking at?
Yes.
So we understand that the first video was of the statement on October 21st. What date is this interview taking place?
This is November 9th, 2021.
I would ask to admit State's Exhibit 68 and permission to publish.
No objection.
Yes, admitted. You may publish.
There you go. Thanks. All right. Let's do this. Yeah.
How loud is that?
at? Sam?
I thought, where's Alex at?
I'm out.
Oh, really? Wait. The other one was Sam?
Yeah.
Oh, gee.
If you turn it down a little, do you think you can hear better?
Mm-hmm.
I think so. Yeah, okay. I think so.
Let's... Well, let's... let Yes, but that control seems to really take it up or down significantly, so it's hard to fine-tune it. Let me see if I can make it better from here, George, and if I can't, we'll push it down one up there.
Yeah. Sure, that's the thing. I'm actually primary on this.
Okay. I need to go up a little.
Up a little? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's try it there and see if I can get the okay.
I totally had you guys mix that. Okay.
What do you think? You want
to kind of like out of it.
I can't tell
yeah.
what this means.
I think everybody was a little bit that day. Yeah. So it's formality.
Does that sound okay?
I noticed that this microphone's on. I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
Thank you.
Maybe we can turn up more of these microphones and prevent some of that.
Is that one on over there? No? Okay. All right, let's
mine's
see.
Mine's on and I can turn it off. And I think, Corporal, you can turn yours off as long as you remember to turn it back on when we're talking.
Okay.
But remember,
all right, I'm just going to play it from the beginning.
Oh, really? Wait. The other one was Sam?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. She was assisting. I'm actually primary on this.
Okay. I totally had you guys mixed up.
That's okay.
I was kind of, like, out of it, so, yeah.
Oh, I think everybody was a little bit that day.
Yeah.
So it's formality. She signed this the first night. Okay. I'm going to have you do it again tonight, just that way. We're all in understanding. I know your attorney's here. So this is your statement of rights, okay?
Okay. Oh, thank you. Do I check all of these?
Yeah, initial them for me.
Okay.
I like your necklace.
Thank you. It's actually a locket. Okay.
Over your experience again, okay? So can you tell me your years of experience as an armorer?
Okay, so pretty much mostly really started taking on this armorer job in March with my dad. We did the movie Murder at Immigrant Gulch together on the same team. I was his assistant. And then I did my own job as head armorer on the Old Way after that. And then after that, I did this, you know, and before that, I had gone on a couple of things with my dad, mostly doing production assistant work, but also still kind of watching him and still kind of learning from him on the side.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I did Magnificent Seven, like, back in 2015, and we were out there for, like, 2 months, and I was learning a lot from him then, too.
Okay. So pretty much just assisting him.
Yeah.
From 2015 until...
Yeah, pretty much. And also, well, not, like, consistently either, because I was in college for a lot of that time.
Okay.
Yeah. So for a lot of before this, I was in college, so not really able to do the whole film set thing.
Okay. What did you go to college for?
I went to college for communications and film.
Okay.
Yeah, and I also took a lot of art classes, too.
So how many productions now do you have under your belt?
Cinema, about seven, yeah, and then also I did a bunch in college, you know.
And then how many with you as head armor?
Head armor, just two.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was the...
This, the Rust and the Old Way, yeah.
Okay. How long did you spend on the Old Way?
We did that for a month and a week.
Oh, so, like, not that much time.
Not that much time.
And no.
But it was only me doing the guns on it, so it was me, 22 guns, doing all of the loading and everything myself.
Okay. What about any official training that you've done?
Official training? Not really much official training.
So just?
I was planning on getting my concealed carry permit pretty soon, but haven't gotten there yet.
Okay. For what you do as an armorer, does this job require to use, like, specific tools when you're doing inspections on weapons?
So I don't really do the inspections on weapons too much. I'm not a gunsmith by any means, you know. I get them from Seth. Seth, like, you know, maintenance them and everything. I was cleaning a couple of them, and a couple of them did have some issues that I couldn't figure out, so I sent them back to Seth, and he sent them back to me, and they were okay.
Okay. So any type of, like, malfunction or anything that you came across would go?
Yeah.
And you're talking about Seth Kenny, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I sent back one of the guns because the hammer was pulled back, and it wouldn't release back down, and I don't know, he said something about I cleaned it wrong or something, I'm not sure, but I cleaned 17 other pistols that day, so I don't know how I did that one wrong.
Okay. Do you remember which one that was?
You know, that was actually one of Miller's guns, and not related to the incident really, but Miller was one of the deputies, and just one of his, the hammer got stuck back, and I've never encountered that before, so
okay.
Went ahead and sent it back.
Okay. So, as far as, like, the movie productions go, do they require you to have any certifications to work? And it can be, like,
you know,
anything.
I'm not really sure entirely, just because most of the jobs I've gotten have just been, like, through word of mouth and everything, or, like, you know, Seth works on getting them for me, or my dad gets them for me, or my dad got me on as his assistant the first time, you know, so I'm not really sure entirely what they are looking for. I know that they get a firearms license and everything, and a license for the area to shoot on and everything, but they usually get that. I don't even get that usually, so
okay.
I'm not really sure in terms of what else. I know that Seth always tells me that I'm on his license to work with these weapons, and that's all I really know.
And that's kind of the same with Sarah, right?
Yeah. Not really sure what that's ever meant. Seth always just says Hannah and Sarah are on my license.
Okay. But as far as, like, you go, there's no...
No one really asks about much of that.
Like, you don't have to take safety classes in regards to anything with movie sets.
So that's the thing. I was actually just getting into the union, and mm-hmm. with the union and everything, because on this set they hired me non-union. But normally with the unions, you take a safety course, you take a sexual harassment course, and you take a few different things. And I had, like, literally just gotten the paperwork and everything to get in that. And you need 30 union days on a union show before you can do that. And so I had 22 before this job. And so a lot of the days from this job were going to count towards that.
Okay.
But yeah, so I wasn't even able to get that. But for other than that, like the whole industry doesn't really require anything. It's mostly just California or union, and I wasn't union.
Okay. And so Rust wasn't like, you know, like I obviously have to have a cert to be a cop.
Yeah,
and
no, totally.
Like, you know, every year I got to take like driving courses and shooting courses and everything like that.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah, no, Rust didn't really ask me anything about that. They kind of just conferred it all through Seth.
Okay. So I heard that you were hired to do a couple jobs on this set.
Yes.
Can you talk about or tell me about both of them?
Okay. So, like originally when I got on the set, you know, I have always done armor kind of really separate from props. Like I'm always with props, but I usually, we do it ourselves, me and my dad, and props doesn't really interfere. This is the only job that I've taken where I was heavily incorporated into props, and it's because originally they had hired me for armor and key prop assistant. And that's not just like prop assistant, that's the key prop assistant. So that means more responsibility, that means I'm Sarah's second.
Okay.
In a lot of cases. So if there's an issue with props, you could go to Sarah, and then if there's an issue where Sarah can't, you know, isn't there, then it goes to me, and then we have our assistant, Nicole. So I had, my job is the armor, and originally I thought that I was mostly going to be doing my armor job and kind of left alone to do that, but after the first week, I got talked to by some people in production, and they were told that I wasn't really pulling my weight in props. So basically, I was told that I needed to shift my focus less on armor and more on props.
Who did they expect to take on the armor role if it wasn't your...
I don't know. They told me, they said, yeah, we hear that you're taking your armor job very seriously, but we need you to support props right now because props is also struggling. And I was like, okay, I'll try my best to do that. And they said, normally before that, I would kind of just hang out in the prop truck and, like, you know, work on the guns and just kind of be in there doing my own stuff if there weren't any guns on set. But after that, they had told me, like, no, we want you on set. We want you as a present on set for props.
Okay.
Yeah, so was split up quite a bit.
Can you give me some examples of what you would do, like, when you were assisting props?
Okay, yeah. So normally, you know, I kind of... Like, for the saloon scene, I would just kind of be standing there, you know, watching over the guns and everything, checking them for the actors as I brought them into the actors. That's just my job as the armor. With the saloon and everything, I'm pouring drinks for props. I'm running outside and rolling cigarettes. I'm, like, doing several different things and grabbing several different props and setting props up constantly. And so, yeah, when... Some scenes aren't exactly super prop heavy, and sometimes they're just kind of gun heavy, and so in that case, I can, like, focus more on the guns, but sometimes I was split between running the guns and also dealing with the props. But Nicole, the assistant, tried to help alleviate that a little bit, but not every, you know, she was pretty green, so had to step in a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. Mostly I thought that I was there doing props at the beginning just to help find everything because we got hired on a week before. Normally you hire the prop master a month in advance. Sarah got brought on a week before. I got brought on a little after her. And so we were just kind of running around that first week trying to find props. And then I thought after that, you know, after she got the assistant, I'd be able to focus more on the guns. But then production talked to me and said that I needed to focus more on props, so.
Okay. And who from production?
Gabrielle Pickle, and also the head of the art department, Brian. Mostly, yeah, Sarah just said that I couldn't really support props in the way needed, so they were talking about possibly taking, I was talking to them, and I was like, well, do you not want me to do props at all in this case and just focus on the guns? And they were like, no, like, we don't want Nicole stepping up and taking your position. We want you to step into this position, and we think it's a great opportunity for you. But really, I just got to do two jobs for less pay.
Yeah. How did you feel about that added responsibility?
You know, it was a lot, but I'm super eager, and when someone kind of says, like, you know, you can do this, like, then I'm just like, okay, now I have to show them, like, I can do this, you know? So ultimately, it was frustrating, but at the same time, I was like, all right, got to go and kick ass and props now, I guess, too.
Yeah. Did you ever have, like, any time that specifically pointed out to you where you felt overwhelmed?
Well, you know, props, we were told a lot, you know, that we were kind of lagging and, like, the wranglers would kind of shit on us for not propping up horses soon enough or, like, not getting actors propped up soon enough. So props was definitely struggling. And then after that talk I had with Brian, I went to Sarah and I was like, I'm not, like, pulling my weight, you know. And I tried to talk to her about it and she was like, yeah, I didn't mean to, like, be a jerk about it. I just wanted to let them know that I needed more help in the department. And so we talked about it, and I was like, well, that's cool. Just maybe next time go ahead and talk to me first before going to Brian and Gabrielle.
Do you know why they didn't utilize Nicole more?
They, well, we definitely did utilize Nicole, but ultimately I have a very strong personality. And also, a lot of the times, like, my personality would even be stronger than Sarah's in a lot of respects. And a lot of people were already kind of gaining respect for me, like, in terms of, like, you know, the wranglers and everything. And I'm just good at meshing with other departments, you know. So they wanted me on set more just to kind of, you know, be a presence of props and really, you know, kind of just be a demanding force.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you ever express to them at any point if you felt overwhelmed or?
After that, you know, I thought we were doing pretty good of managing both. There were some days, you know, where I would talk to Sarah and I was like she would be like, could you come out here and see what's going on with me? And I was like, no, dude, I need to like focus on guns and I need to pull guns for later on. And she would be like, well, you're the second. I think you should be here with me on set to watch this. And I was like, there's not a lot of props out there. I'm going to be here doing the guns.
Okay.
So there was a couple of times, but I also kind of really held my ground on not, you know, spreading myself too incredibly thin.
Or getting overrun by
others. Yeah, exactly. Because you kind of just have to, you know. But ultimately with higher positions, sometimes you get ran over.
Okay. Who hired you for Rust?
I believe, I'm not really sure. Steph just texted me and he was like, you got the job, prop assistant, so-and-so. I sent him my resume and they, Sarah sent it in and I think Roe approved it. And yeah, so Sarah hired me, Roe approved it.
Okay. So it's not like a typical hiring process for a job where you have to go in.
Yeah, no, there's no real interviews, like, any time in film. Film's a very weird industry.
Word of mouth,
by all means. I think it's so weird how, like, secretive it is almost, you know? Like, it's really hard to get on anything unless you know somebody. And if you stop working for a while, it's, like, almost hard to jump back in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really weird. You can't just, like, look up, like, film jobs in your area and then go and apply. It's not, that's
indeed.
Not a thing. Yeah. I really wish it was kind of like that. That would probably, yeah, that'd be a lot better. But right now there's just such a media surge, especially that, you know, they're just kind of getting on anyone that they can bring, really, because the media surge with all of these different, like, the networks and everything coming out with their own little internet things. It's making everything, like, boom right now, like, crazy.
Yeah. I know you had talked about how you were in the process of becoming a union member.
Yeah.
With which union?
I was working on becoming a union member with the Local 44.
Okay.
That's the oldest and longest established union, and it's also the one that my dad's a part of, so.
Is that, like, international, or?
I'm not really entirely sure. I know it's mostly California. You know, each union is kind of specific to the area. Yeah, I think that one is the most put together one, and it's definitely the most active one, which is why I was trying to be a part of it. And I had already actually started the, like, kind of OSHA safety one a little bit after this, actually. So I had already been starting that because I just got in, like, a little bit before that into the program.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So as far as your employment on Rust, were you hired on a contract, or how?
I was hired on a contract. Yeah, you know, the contract wasn't really specific to the job per se. The contract was just like regular employee contract. Jason has a copy of it.
Okay. Is there any way I can get a copy?
Sure. Yeah, I'll send that.
Yeah. Besides you and Sarah and Nicole, were there any other armorers or prop masters or anybody brought onto the set at any time?
I don't believe so. Not anyone brought on the set. I don't really know if Seth ever came to set, but he was the mentor on the paperwork and everything, and he was like where we got most of our stuff from.
Okay.
Yeah.
But no one else ever worked with you guys? They didn't do like a late hire?
Oh, so they did bring in one girl for swing shift, but I don't even know if she ever made it to set or if she just met up with Sarah outside of set.
Okay.
But yeah, we had finally, week two was coming around, and we told them, like, it's getting crazy busy. We can't have Sarah leaving set to go find these things. So they brought in a day player that could run around and go find things for us.
Okay.
Because before that, Sarah had to leave set a lot of the time. Oh, that also contributed to spreading us thin for a little while there. That's why they brought in the third person, because ultimately Sarah would have to leave set pretty much every day for several hours, and then it would just be me out there.
And what would Sarah go do at that time?
Sarah would go try to find props, because with them bringing her in a week, you know, it's hard to find, like, a weird Indian axe, you know? Like, there's a bunch of weird, obscure things for a period piece that are super hard to find. So she would go try to find them, meet up with other prop masters in the area, and see if they had them.
Do you know who that fourth was?
You know, I think her name was Jade.
Jade?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I was hoping for her to come more on set, but yeah, they just hired her as a day player every now and then.
Okay. Okay, so as far as, and I know some of this that we've talked about before, some of it might be a little bit redundant.
It's okay.
But just trying to cover all bases. So, again, who provides the ammo?
So, as far as I'm concerned, me and Sarah, we went together and we picked up the ammunition and all the weapons and my leathers from Seth Kinney in Albuquerque at his shop. Yeah, we got two boxes of ammo, I'm pretty sure, that day. And then as we went on in the show, there were a couple of times that we needed more. So Sarah and I would text him, you know, that we needed more. And occasionally Sarah brought in more ammo from Seth.
Okay. Those two boxes that were originally supplied, were they blanks or dummies?
Originally supplied.
You said that you picked up two boxes of ammo.
Oh, yeah. So I think
they were... You mean like boxes, like the white boxes?
No, they were like bigger boxes.
Okay.
For sure. Yeah, no, a lot of them are, there wasn't a lot of dummies in those really much at all. There were some dummies, you know, like obscure dummies that we couldn't really get, like the 50-70 rounds, you know. I don't know if you're familiar with those. Those are big rounds. They go in the trap door. So we had some of those dummies with it. But in terms of 45 long Colt dummies, I don't think there was a lot of dummies in there. And so I asked Seth about it, and I said, hey, like, where's all the long Colt dummies? Because the 45, you know, 45 ammo is, like, different than 45 long Colt, so we didn't exactly, I couldn't find that. So he told me to check the dummies that I had from the last show, because he got me those ones and everything. And so I went back through a bag that I had. This bag had, like, a bunch of loose dummies in it. And I went through, and I checked all of them, and I put them into two boxes. And so we had two boxes of 45 long Colt dummies that were mine from the last show,
well,
originally.
Snake cage.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I had just brought those off of the old way, and they were in my car for, like, 2 weeks. I jumped right off of the old way into this. I was barely home for, like, a week. So, yeah.
But he told you to check your supply.
Yeah.
And what you had to take it.
Yeah.
So he authorized... You to bring
he authorized me to bring, dummies.
Okay.
And then also, there was one time where he didn't give us any eighth loads, and I had one box of eighth loads, and so I was like...
So, Corporal, just to be clear what we've just heard, did Ms. Gutierrez tell you that she brought two boxes of dummies onto the set of Rust that she had left over from the old way?
Yes.
And did she also explain that they were loose in a bag in her car and they had been there for 2 weeks?
That's correct.
And did she explain that she took them out of the bag and put them in boxes?
Yes.
I'm gonna use my box of eighth loads, put it on the invoice, and I would have received money for that.
For blanks,
yeah. Eighth load blanks.
Okay. Did you ever get recompensated for this?
No, I don't really plan on it, given the circumstances, because usually that goes through Seth, and then Seth kicks me down with whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, how many rounds, and two boxes is, you know, kind of hard for us to, we're just trying to understand, so how many rounds would you say were supplied at the beginning?
You know, mind if I check my phone really quick? I think Seth, like, sent me a picture of, like, it written on cardboard or something.
Okay.
Or actually, if you look at the boxes, I think the boxes...
On the flap.
Yeah, on the flap should say it.
Okay.
Did you see that at all?
Yeah.
That's that's what Seth showed me. So that same thing, that's what should have all been in there.
Okay. And so you and Sarah picked it up at the beginning of production.
Yeah.
From Albuquerque, brought it to Tut.
Yeah, but we couldn't exactly bring it to set right away because they hadn't had the prop truck ready for us. So we had to leave it. You know, she had the guns in her car in Albuquerque. I had the ammo in my trunk at the hotel, and then we just took them to set the next day.
Okay, so it was less than like
overnight. Yeah, just overnight.
Period. It was like multiple days.
Multiple days of what?
I was just gonna say for Sarah to keep all those in her vehicle in Albuquerque. That's a bold move.
Well, and it was only one night, and she had a garage.
Okay.
So that's why she was like, "Do you want them to go with you or me?" And I was like, "You. You have a garage. You know."
Albuquerque though.
Oh, I know. I told her. Somebody was all like, "Get those and get out," and I was like, "Hell yeah."
So when you guys brought additional rounds on the set or additional boxes or needed more, how did those get delivered?
Sarah brought them in most of the time. I never saw Seth after the first time that I saw him before the show.
Okay. So did Sarah, you know, she went and picked him up from Albuquerque, or how did she get them?
She lived in Albuquerque, so most of the time she would just run and grab them.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm
not sure if she got any more from anyone else. I had heard that some of the dummies were borrowed from someone. I don't know. She said, "Don't lose any of these because we have to give them back." And I was like, okay, they fall out of the gun belt and everything, but I'll try not to lose them.
Okay. And then how much did you supply of your own?
Of my own dummies?
Yeah.
Just the two. And we mostly went through those right away just because two boxes, two of the little boxes, not like big boxes, just the little boxes. And yeah, I had two of those, and most of mine had the no primer caps, the ones that I showed you, remember?
Is it the ones that are like indented in?
Yes.
Okay.
So a lot of those were mine, and then also I had a multitude of the ones with holes and the ones you shake, so yeah. And I checked those all, and I put them into two things.
Okay.
Myself, yeah.
Do you remember what those boxes looked like?
Yeah, I do. They usually say JS on them.
Okay.
This is one that my dad sent me. And mine are usually beat up pretty bad.
Okay.
Like, they're very dirty. And gross, usually.
Okay. Do you know what the JS stands for in this?
Joe Swanson.
Okay. Have you met Joe?
I have not, but him and my dad are pretty good friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me stop it there for a moment. Corporal, did Ms. Gutierrez show you a photograph on her phone during the interview?
Yes, she did.
And did she indicate to you that the photograph that she was showing you was a photograph of the box or a box that would be like the box that she brought onto the set that had dummies?
Yes.
And did she tell you who she got that photo from?
She said in her interview that she got that photo from her father, which is Bill Reed.
And I'm going to show you what has previously been admitted into evidence as State's Exhibit 69. Do you see that?
Yes.
Is that the exact photo that she showed you during the interview?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Does this look exactly like the box of dummies that Mr. Benavides took from the prop cart on October 21st, 2021?
Yes, it looks exactly like it.
Thank you.
All right, so as far as the ammo goes, who has access?
They stay in the truck, like on, you know, the only thing that's in the safe is the guns. So yeah, pretty much, I don't know if they locked the prop truck at night or what happened with that, but yeah, so pretty much just me, Nicole, Sarah, and the first week we did share that prop truck with locations.
Okay.
But other than that, the prop truck, you know, would kind of be open most days just because we're running in and out of there. And sometimes, you know, ammo is underneath on our cart, just chilling there usually.
Like on the floor of the
truck? On the bottom. No, of the cart.
Okay. On the second shelf.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I usually try to keep it down there.
So all the ammo is pretty much out in the open?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, unless it wasn't, like, taken out directly of the boxes or anything, then yeah, the ones that are out there are out in the open pretty much regularly.
Okay, and they never get locked up in a safe?
No.
Okay. Were all the guns provided by Seth?
Yes.
And who has access to the guns?
Sarah and I, and I believe Nicole kind of knew the code, but I don't think she remembered it most of the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did she ever remove the guns from the safe?
I had her put them away sometimes.
Okay.
Mostly just because I couldn't leave set.
Okay.
Yeah.
And does anybody watch her do that?
No, not really.
Is she allowed to?
Mostly somebody has to lock them up and they shouldn't be on set, so, you know, Sarah or I would give her permission to go over there and just put them in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's something that you guys are allowed to do, is give someone else permission to lock
them up. I would
think
for a prop assistant, yeah.
Okay.
She only put them away ever.
So who all has the ability to lock the safe?
I mean, anyone that has arms, like, can close it. You know.
Is that you don't have to punch in the code again to lock it?
No.
So you turn the knob and it's done?
Yeah.
Okay. What about the truck? Who has the ability to lock the truck?
You know, none of us lock the truck ever. We figured that's kind of like the transpo's job. We don't have locks for the trucks normally. I know some prop masters lock up their own trucks, but yeah, not really sure. We kind of just closed ours up every day.
Okay. Do you know?
I don't know if Transpo ever locked it.
Okay. Do you know who was in charge of that truck?
Not specifically.
Okay.
I don't remember his name.
It was a male, though.
Yeah.
Can you describe him?
He was a sweet old Hispanic man with a nice mustache.
Okay. Have you said midway?
Midway.
And he was the one primarily in charge of that truck.
Towards like the second week, yeah. Before that, we kind of just had random people moving it. And then eventually he got assigned to us pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the morning when you got there, was it ever locked up?
No.
Okay. So you just walk in?
Walk in and pull the handle.
Okay. What about the back of it? I know it's got one of those big...
Yeah, that's what we normally did. Yeah, we just closed up the side and we would unlock the handle. We figured it was usually getting watched by security.
Do they just have security, and it's okay if you don't know, but do they just have security at that front gate there, or do they have...
I know that I've seen some security around other parts of set, like just in a car, but that was mostly after the incident and everything, and it was just a car near the church.
Okay.
So that's really all I know about the security measures. All
right. So you'd say, as far as ammo goes, it is common to have it outside of that safe?
Isn't yeah, that no, it's super common to have it outside of the safe.
Okay. Who loads the ammo into the guns?
Me and Sarah.
Okay, you both load them.
Yeah.
And who loads ammo into, like, the bandoliers or the belts and...
That's me and Sarah again. I think Nicole helped us a couple of times shaking them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did she ever, like, actually load them, or did she just shake
into
them
the...
and say they're good?
And she would shake them and put them into the belt with me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know how often... Or should I say, when did you guys put the ammo in the bandoliers?
A lot of them already had it in there. So, from the last Nick Cage set and everything. So, still check those ones out and everything. But we, of course, had a couple more that we had to, like, switch around and everything. So, mostly the whole first week, we were switching them around. And then after that, we did have a couple more characters come in with different, you know, waist sizes, so we would have to, like, put them in other belts, too.
So some of these belts already had rounds in them?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember which ones?
No. They mostly got switched around a lot, and a lot of them fell out pretty regularly out of
the rounds in them?
Yeah. Okay. The dummy rounds would fall out sometimes, just because when they're riding the horses, they jiggle out.
Okay.
So you regularly have to put more in them.
So since some of this ammo came from another production, was the ammo in those belts ever checked?
Yeah.
So you guys physically removed them from the belts?
Yeah.
And checked them?
Yes.
Okay. And who all did the checking?
That was me. That was involved in the two boxes that I did.
At the beginning?
Yes.
All right. So when ammo's not being used, then does it ever go back in a box? Does it stay?
When ammo's not being used, if it's about to be used, it's there on the bottom of the cart. Like, if we're going to get into it later that day, we don't really have time to run back to the truck. So we usually keep it right there if we're shooting that day. If we're not shooting that day, it doesn't really come on set. I'll usually bring, like, maybe a box of quarter loads just in case they randomly decide that they want to shoot something, because they'll change their minds last minute, and then you have to be prepared for that.
Who's they?
Directors, actors, whoever just, like, feels like, maybe I should be shooting right now, kind of.
Okay. So when you go to unload the belts or the guns, anything of the sort, does it go back in a box?
The belts?
The
like
ammo.
We don't ever take, once the dummies are on the belt, they stay on the belt, and the belts just get hung in the prop truck.
Okay.
Like, yeah. And then for the guns and everything, yeah, we take all the dummies out if it's dummied up, and then, of course, we take the blanks out, too.
But where do they go?
They go back in a box.
Okay.
Or sometimes the dummies, they'll go on the cart
on the top of the car.
So would you say that ammo's ever mixed?
The dummies and the blanks?
Or just, you know, various kinds of dummies?
Well, various kinds of dummies, yeah. Like I told you, all dummies are kind of weird and individual in their own way, pretty much. So yeah, they were mixed pretty regularly.
Okay. So it's not like, you know, I say, hey, I take these rounds out of here, and they have to go back in that specific box because these are...
No, they just go in a dummy box.
Okay.
In a box of dummies.
So our actors are, or crew members on set, are they advised to self-inspect weapons?
I'm not really sure. Well, most of the time when they tell me, like, I'll go up to them and I'm like, here, and I show them it's clear, they'll be like, it's okay, I trust you. I say, don't trust me. You know, go ahead and always check for yourself.
Okay.
But,
but
yeah.
Are they required to self-check?
No, not really.
Okay.
But I do show them every time before I hand them off to them.
All right.
Show them that the gun's clear.
Have you seen any of them do their own safety checks?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Jensen does his own safety checks. Travis does his own safety checks. Travis Simmel. Devin was getting into doing his own safety checks because I taught him how to do it. So he was kind of getting better at that.
What would they do to do these checks?
Pull the hammer back to half cock. Spin it around and close it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So not pulling it rounds out, checking them themselves?
No, not really.
Okay. Has it ever been common practice for actors to do?
I'm not really too sure.
What about on your last production? Did they ever do their own?
Nick Cage definitely did not. He barely really cared to train with the gun at all. A lot of actors sometimes will barely care to train with the gun at all and think that they'll just do it on the day. But yeah, no, not a lot of them take it out and check them.
Okay. When you or somebody gives a gun to an actor, do you tell them, like, hey, these are the rounds that are in this gun, like, do you tell them it's hot or cold, and then what kind of ammo is in the gun?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that question?
Yeah. So
I tell them, all right, so this is a clear gun if there's no dummies in it, right? If it's dummied up, I show them and I say this is dummied up, and usually I have the dummies that have no primer cap in there, so I'll show them that. And then if it's hot, I'll tell them it's hot, and I'll tell them 4/4 loads or 4/8 loads or
whatever is in the gun.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I let them know exactly how many is in there. And I put it exactly to where they'll shoot it, and it'll go for that time.
Okay. Have you ever allowed access to anyone for any of these firearms?
No. Like for using them on set, or
for any purpose that
well, I allow
outside of what their scope was.
No.
Like after hours, during lunch.
No.
You know, days that you guys weren't.
No, me, Nicole, and Sarah ate lunch together pretty regularly, pretty much every day, except for a couple of days where I would sit at another table or converse with some other people, but yeah, we all went to lunch together, we all locked them up every day at lunch, and we all locked them up every night, and I definitely didn't go to work on my weekends, because why would I do that, you know?
Right.
I want to be there as least as possible.
Same.
Yeah.
You did it.
Don't we all? Yeah. So, yeah, last weekend, I was in Denver the first weekend, actually, so, yeah, and then the other one, I was just relaxing at my hotel.
Did you spend any time with anybody on the weekends?
Yeah, I spent some time with the nice boy at the front desk at my hotel. He was nice. I hung out with some crew members. We went bowling one time. And other than that, I didn't really hang out with people outside of set too much. And I kind of went and did my own thing in Denver the week before. We hadn't really been there that long.
Okay. Did you go out, this is kind of in, did you go out with the crew one night to, I think they said like some brewery?
Yeah, we went to the brewery downtown after bowling.
After bowling?
Yeah.
Okay, and that was on a day off though?
Yeah.
Did you have work the next day?
No, that was Monday. We worked, we had Monday, Tuesday off.
Okay, do you remember which Monday it was?
It was the last Monday before the incident.
Okay.
So the 20th was the incident, I believe, on Wednesday?
21st.
So
the 11th?
The Monday.
Columbus Day? Is that a holiday?
Or would that be the 18th?
No. Yeah, it would be the 18th.
Okay. So you're off that Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah.
We're back a couple
days. Yeah.
Okay. have you yourself, and not just on this set, but have you ever encountered a defective blank or...
A defective dummy?
Yeah.
So, you know, I've had a couple of blanks that haven't gone off, you know, but usually that's because the actor doesn't pull the hammer all the way back, and so it'll just be at half cock, and so when they shoot it, it won't ignite it, and I usually just say like, oh, it was a misfire, to kind of save the actor's face a little bit in that case.
Mm-hmm.
And then for, in terms of bad dummies, I had never experienced a bad dummy.
Okay. So what's your standard protocol, like, if one of them's defective?
The blanks.
Either one.
Okay, so if the blanks are defective, you know, usually I'll just take them, I'll put them in my pocket, I'll save them for later, and then if I'm curious enough, I'll just go ahead and, like, shoot them and be like, okay, yeah, they didn't pull the hammer all the way back. Or if the dummies were defective, I guess, I would put them in my pocket and just save them to later and check them out.
Okay. Have you ever, in your history of working, encountered live rounds on the set?
Never.
Okay. And how do you know that?
Because every dummy I've ever shaken has been a dummy, and the other ones have holes in the side, and I've never experienced a round that looked like a dummy and behaved like a blank or anything. So, yeah, I am shaking all of them most of the time.
Okay.
So.
And then, I know you've said this a million times, but just do me a favor. Go over each round and then how the round.
Tell you she was shaking all of them.
Is your microphone on?
Sorry. Did Ms. Gutierrez tell you that she was shaking all of them most of the time?
Yes.
Thank you.
Each round of blanks?
Yeah, and dummies. So I know that there's, like, obviously a couple different kinds of dummies. All
right, yeah. Okay.
You don't have to go into, like,
no,
every
specific
caliber or anything of this sort, but just...
Okay. Let's, all right. So, a lot of the dummies, the ones with primer caps, those ones mostly go in the belts and everything. A lot of the primer caps are punctured most of the time, you know, because they get hit while they're in the gun. So those will go in the gun sometimes if I don't have the other ones. There are some with holes in the side that also still have the primer caps and everything. And then there's the ones with no primer caps, and there's a hole in the side sometimes too with those, and sometimes there's not. And mostly I like to put the ones with no primer caps into the guns, you know, just to make everyone feel safe. And then for the other ones, those go in the belts, you know, and the ones that have the primer caps.
Corporal, is it your understanding from your investigation that the dummies that were put into Mr. Baldwin's prop gun on October 21st, 2021, all had missing primer caps?
No.
And the hole in the side are good for both, really.
Okay. And then,
for all the lows, yeah, all right. So for all the blanks, all the quarters, so there's eighth lows. Those are the super quietest ones, and I just worked with Ryan Armstrong
that little 11-year-old on the old way, and I had her use those. So especially if it's someone that's really young and new with the guns, I'll make sure that they're the smallest load possible, which is an eighth. Some horses require eighth loads. Most of the time I'll put the box and I'll put horsey rounds on them in my own handwriting, so that way I know.
And are those the eighths?
Yeah, those are the eighths. And then sometimes, you know, I will, if it's super close proximity and inside eighths too, but quarters also work for inside proximities that are close. And then on top of that, for the quarters, around kids, around horses too, that's like the last size pretty much allowed. And then we do the half loads if it's going into like a rifle, or if we're outside, like we did a lot of half loads on the show because a lot of it was outside. And then for the full loads, it's very rare still that I use a full load, unless like an actor is just really weird and wants it. Alec only wanted to train with full loads because he wanted it to look realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time I'll use full loads if it's a really big gun, like a trapdoor or something, a trapdoor rifle. That would have a lot of smoke coming out of it, so you want to make sure it looks realistic.
Okay. Were all of these used for rust?
Fulls were used for rust, some of my eighths were used for rust, quarters were used for rust, and halves were used for rust, yeah.
Okay.
So it was really a variety and just depending on the situation.
Okay. And then, is anyone allowed to bring their personal firearms on the set?
No.
Did you see anybody bring personal firearms?
No.
And did you ever see anyone bring ammo?
No.
Okay. Did anybody ask you about going target shooting?
Yeah. The Wrangler had made a joke about it one time to me. And I said something to the effect of, well, you can try, you don't have the ammo.
Okay. What did they say? Do you remember?
Not really. I don't really remember what they said.
But they insinuated about shooting actual rounds.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that they were joking, though.
Okay.
A lot of boys on set will be like, oh my god, can we go shoot the guns? It's just, yeah.
But no one pressured you into it?
No, no one ever seriously pressured me into it.
What about Sarah?
What about Sarah?
Did she ever mention anything about
shooting? No.
Okay.
Sarah, yeah, no. She never mentioned anything about shooting, and we left every day at the same time and pretty much got there just around a little after each other.
Okay. So as far as safety protocols on set, do you recall any sort of safety protocols during the time of the production?
We had a couple of safety meetings. A lot of days we did not, which normally it's typical any time that there's firearms or live animals on set or open flame, you do a safety meeting. So a lot of those days we did not have a safety meeting. Other than that,
safety... Who hosted them?
Huh?
Who hosted those safety meetings?
Dave.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you remember what they were about?
The guns and everything. We also said, you know, because actors will leave guns around sometimes, they'll forget them. So we always told people, you know, like, don't ever touch a gun if you see it, you know, because Jensen totally left his on the snack bar one time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we found that pretty promptly, but...
Isn't your snack bar down at base camp?
No.
Where was it?
It's on set. We can't, like, go all the way back to base for snacks.
Well, so I was like,
No. I think you're thinking of the cafeteria.
Yeah,
where we lunch. Yeah. No, we have Crafty on set, really close to set most of the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that would be interesting. You're talking about the snack bar, like the little, like, trailer that has all the...
No. Just Crafty. Just a table on set with, like, nutritious bars on it.
My favorite part of getting to work movie sets is
oh, yeah.
Have, like, a little
I love when they have the trailer, yeah. Those are the legit ones. This one was, like,
stupid cheap. Yeah, they like barely let her make soup for us. They barely let her make soups for us, and she had to fight hard for the soup. I called Becca the soup angel. She fought hard for those soups.
Did you ever see safety bulletins?
Where would they be posted, I wonder? You know, sometimes they would put some things in the call sheet, you know, like some safety bulletins and everything.
Do you remember what they said?
I think they would pertain to COVID. They would pertain to, you know, like firearms on set. They would pertain to live animals. Yeah, it's usually kind of like in red on the call sheets.
Okay.
Other than that, they would sometimes in an email, like, put it in red, like, anything you needed to know about the day.
Do you still have those emails?
I think I might have some of those emails still.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to
grab those? Yes, yeah,
because,
sure.
Mm-hmm. That's, you know, obviously a big, who distributes, because you guys would get call sheets the night before.
Yeah.
Right.
Tim Bezerra usually sent them out.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is his position?
He is also an assistant director, but he's more of the type where he is never on set and his only job is sitting in the office and creating these schedules and doing all the paperwork.
So he's normally out.
Yeah, he's normally never on set, that poor boy. All
right. Who would you say is in charge of the safety meetings that are being held?
Dave, and then the first time we did it, he let me speak, and I told people, you know, like, these are regular weapons we have on set, don't stand in front of them, don't point them at anybody. And then after that, the only other one we had was the day of, and Dave kind of just covered most of that.
Okay, do you remember what he talked about today?
Not entirely. He just told everybody, like, you know, we do have, like, blanks on set. We are going to have a lot of gunfire today. Real guns on set. No one touched them, you know.
Okay.
And things like that. And also things about the horses, he told.
When did you host a safety meeting?
I never hosted one all by myself.
Okay. What do you said that he let you do one, though?
He let me hop in on his.
Okay.
Yeah, he said, Hannah, do you have anything else to add? And I said, yeah. And I said, let's be safe, you know, like, no one be standing in the way of these things and just, like, don't be, if it's pointing in that direction, don't stand in front of it.
Okay. Do you remember what day that was, then?
That was the first day we had gunfire on set, which I believe was the second day that we started on set.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So what do you teach actors or crew members when it comes to gun safety?
So it really also depends on the actors, too. You know, like big ones like Nick Cage, if they tell the director, like, you know, that they don't really care to do it, I can try to teach them for the most part, but like a lot of the times they might not even listen to me or really pay attention or be on their phone. Alec was on his phone a lot of that entire thing. But for the most part, they put me in training this time. It was pretty irregular how I trained actors this time. This time they put 9 people all together in one day.
Okay.
That I was supposed to train. And during this time, they put a ton of producers right there. Normally, I train the actors one-on-one. It makes them feel comfortable. It allows them to not be distracted and everything. And this time, they had me training 3 people at once and a ton of producers behind me. The director is there, too. The producers are talking to the actors. The actors were distracted even, too. And I tried to do my best to work with all 3 of them. I worked with Jensen. You could probably see a video of him saying, like, she showed me, like, this is how you check it. You know, this is how we make sure it's safe. So I try to do that standard same thing every time, show them how to check their own gun and show them how to make sure it's safe. And then I always talk, I have them draw it a few times, you know, with nothing in there. Make sure that they have the draw down. Usually a little before that, I'll have them, like, just fire off a couple of quarter loads.
Okay.
you know, so they can get the idea, not drawing it from their thing, but just holding it and firing it so they can get, so they can understand what they're going to be doing.
Okay.
And then after that, we work on the actions that they're going to specifically do. So, you know, if I know that they have a scene and everything, we kind of talk it out together and, like, how they would run, pull it out, what they could do, you know, how not to let it fall on the ground, how not to, like, let rocks get inside of it. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
What about safety rules? Do you advise them any of those?
Safety rules such as, I tell them all the time, not to point them at each other. That's my biggest one, and I always say to everyone in front of them, I'm like, if you don't have to be here, don't be here. You know, other than that, safety-wise, I tell them to keep their finger out of the trigger guard unless they're ready to shoot, because that's how a lot of accidental discharges will happen. And that's just what my dad's told me, at least. So I always try to advise them to keep their finger out of the trigger guard, and yeah.
Okay. Besides you, were there any other trained armorers on the set?
Sarah was kind of trained by Seth. Yeah. I believe Sarah did a show before, and I think that there were two guns involved in the show. And Seth had trained her personally for that.
Okay.
And then I also kind of showed her what to do at the beginning of it to make sure that she wouldn't have an accidental discharge. But she still did, so.
Yeah. So before any gun scene, even just like rehearsal or filming or anything of the sort, did they do a brief?
You know, sometimes they would have time to like really go into it and everything and like kind of, you know, work out the action. Sometimes they would do like an overall one, you know, where they kind of just say like bang, 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 bang. So we did have some rehearsals. Sometimes, you know, there wasn't always rehearsals.
Okay.
So sometimes, yeah, we totally had, like, rehearsals, usually the big ones, and we just kind of have people go bang, 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 bang.
All right. As far as, so what it's been referred to me as the show and tell day where you brought out.
Yeah.
Pretty much everything, right?
Yeah, we brought out every gun that we had that Seth gave to us, and the director really just wanted a lot of options for people, especially because there are so many big names on this. So he wanted to be sure that all the actors knew that it was possible for them to switch around their guns, and that just because we had thought that they would look good with that gun doesn't mean that they were stuck with it.
Okay. Can you go into a little bit more detail about how this day played out, like, where did you guys set up this table?
Okay.
And
yeah. So the day played out, we go to the edge of the town and everything, away from all the people working on the other side. They set up a table, they set up an easy up for us, and the prop truck was coming later that day, so that was finally the first day that we got
council
to get the prop truck going. I brought...
How long does she go into the day?
I'm sorry, I don't recall.
Was it more than 20 minutes? Let's break so that we can have this uninterrupted what went on in the day.
And just to be clear, I think what she's talking about is the day of the show and tell. Is that your understanding, Corporal?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought it was the day of October 21.
I don't believe so.
Okay, thank you.
Do you want me to keep going or you want to break?
No, we'll keep going.
Okay. Sorry.
Gun safe in my tiny Honda fitted in there, and so I had that with me right next to us, and I kept all the ammunition in my trunk and everything, and I kept, and Sarah had all of the guns in her trunk, and so we took all those guns out of the trunk and we put them on the table. We had two tables, so we had two tables filled with long rifles, short guns, a lot of guns. And then also once the show and tell was over, Joel was pretty cool. He was happy with everything. After that was over, he stuck around. And then, like, I think the first couple of actors showed up for training and everything, because I remember they said, like, okay, you're going to have, like, three at this time, and, like, three here and three there, and I was like, all right, like, that's kind of manageable, and it is kind of manageable, you know, and it definitely I've worked with two at a time before. Three is manageable, but, like, also then all of a sudden with the actors, all these producers came, like, a ton of producers. And so the producers are just kind of behind us the whole time. The guns are out there. We put a lot of them away that we didn't need for the training that day. So Sarah put a lot of those away, and we just kept those in my car because I had the safe, and ultimately I was going to put them in the safe at the end of the day. And then so the actors came. We started training and everything. And then all of a sudden, a producer just, like, jumps into the training because I guess he was also firing, but they didn't schedule him for me. So at one point, I was training four people at one time, which is a little chaotic. Yeah, so,
But when you had them all out on the table, how many people would you say were there, like, max at a time that were...
Probably, like, 10.
Messing.
10, and, like, not everyone was really allowed to mess with them, you know, like, a couple producers, like, would ask if they could touch them. Ultimately, I always get pissed at people if they touch them without my permission.
Okay.
Joel, I let do that. You know, Joel is the director. He can touch them. But, yeah, other than that, most people were there, and most people would be, like, wouldn't even ask to touch them. Yeah, good, like, 10 producers were there.
Okay.
Yeah. And Gabby and Ro were there at the beginning, and eventually, like, they left with kind of everybody.
Okay.
And then towards the end of... So at the beginning of the day, I was supposed to train 6, and then I had an hour-long break, you know, and I think I was there from, like, 9 to, like, 2 or 8 and... Yeah, 9 to 2... just training actors pretty much the entire time, and doing the show and tell. And then so I trained 6 of them then, and then plus that producer that they threw in there randomly. And then after that, an hour went by, and I trained Devin and I trained Miller. And yeah, and the last guy didn't show up.
Okay. Who was the producer that you trained?
Nathan.
Okay. Do you remember his last name?
No, not really. He was on set a lot. He was, like, a nice younger one, kind of.
Okay. How long would you say you spent with each group training?
With each actor, probably, like, 30, 20 minutes or so. Yeah, usually I like to work with the actors one-on-one and get, like, a full 30 minutes to an hour in, you know? But that's just not how it went on this one.
Who made that call?
Gabrielle.
Okay. Did she give you a time limit?
She just put 3 people together. Like, she scheduled it like that, and she said they had other things to do and had other, you know, they had to go and do training with the Wranglers. And a lot of this training was, like, the day before. Yeah, they're like, ride a horse now, and now you get to shoot a gun, and, like, yeah.
You get to shoot a gun off a horse.
Yeah, honestly, this is crazy because a lot of the times they have actors start working with the horses, like, months in advance because you can grasp the guns a little quicker than, like, a weird living animal and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they didn't have people training on horses well in advance for this either, which I thought was pretty wild.
Another total off subject, but I was, you know, we brought Jensen in here and spoke to him, and I found out that the gentleman who provided the horses for this set, I used to actually be a wrangler for him.
Oh, really? That's fun. Yeah. Isn't he so cute?
His horses are terrifying.
Yeah, no, the horses are scary. Honestly, I was trying to get out of Westerns because every Western I'm on, a horse almost killed me.
Yeah.
Shit you not. Like, horses back up crazy. And, like, no one even said, like, not to walk behind the horses on this. And I was like, Sarah. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you know? I was just, like, the complete lack of just, like, yeah.
Yeah, I used to wrangle for him. And
yeah. I love Bradley. He's a sweetheart. But, yeah, the horses are bad. But, honestly, like, it's been a long time since I've been able to work with any really good horses because I have been doing independence. You know, no one can afford, like, the good horses that Magnificent Seven had back when I was there in 15, you know.
Well, he used to do all kinds of, like, trail rides and stuff like that, too. But, I mean, I can tell you, like, because he goes, when they do trail rides, they go up, you know, that mountain that has a cross on it down at the end of Bonanza?
Yeah.
So he used to take the horses up that mountain.
Yeah.
And I just remember one day he put me on a thoroughbred that came off the track, a mare, and, like, she was hot. She was a hot horse.
Yeah.
And so he, like, slightly drugged her up before this trail ride.
Yeah. Like, I remember a couple of the horses.
She was off in her own world. We'll just say that.
Oh, yeah. Man. A couple of the horses got loose on this. One, like, made a full-ass run for it, like, three times during one scene. They did their best they could to catch it, and eventually they started catching.
Okay, we're going to break for the evening. Remember, this is, what, a couple more hours on this, maybe?
Less than a couple, but we've still got quite a ways to go.
Okay. So that,
if I can, Judge, just for the record, we stopped this redacted video at 1 hour and 5 minutes.
Okay, so we will carry this on tomorrow. This will be what we queue up with. Please don't talk among yourselves or anyone else about the evidence received here in court. Don't do any research. Don't look up the movie set or this case or anything. Thank you. Have a good evening. See you at 8:30 downstairs.
All right.
More raw courtroom audio from the Rust Alex Baldwin movie shooting trial is on the way.
Press subscribe so you don't miss a moment.
From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public would be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.